I think applying pieces of it and actually doing it over time. And there's no secret. There's a lot of little things you got to get right. So if you're running a business, you know, there's lots of people that have done it. Talk to them, get mentors, talk to people, get a group, mastermind, and just immerse yourself. But there's a lot of little things you got to do. So either hire people to do them or you got to do them yourself. And that's what it takes. That's just it. There's no secret sauce here. That's a big lesson there.
Welcome to another episode of the Hard to Market Podcast. I'm here with Kevin. Kevin, welcome. Kevin from Array Digital. You want to give yourself an introduction here so that I don't mess it up?
I'll do my best. I appreciate you having me on the show. Enjoyed our conversation the other day and ready to talk about some podcasting. But I guess a quick background on me. I'm part owner in three digital marketing agencies. Array Digital is our first agency, our main agency, and we focus on helping law firms with web content, SEO, and really just anything to do with driving organic leads for the firm. And a team of 25 there, own two more agencies that focus on different niche industries. So we're probably around 40, you know, employees full time. And podcasting has been something we've done for many years, has been part of our history, whether it's talking about entrepreneurship, growing a company, good, the bad, the ugly. But also, it's been a big part of our brands and connecting with our prospects and really just getting our foot in the door in the legal industry, as far as Array Digital is concerned, or the HVAC industry with another company we have. So podcast has been just a pivotal part of our success and getting to meet folks and building relationships. And I love it. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, I want to dig into it. And, for those of you listening, you may not know, Kevin's huge. He's recorded like a billion episodes or close to it at this point. And so the first question I have is what made you think rather than going sort of down your own road with what you're offering for your attorney clients, that podcasting was going to be an effective business development tool?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, you know, we do digital marketing, we do SEO, advertising and stuff like that online. And we do that for ourselves to some degree. But at the end of the day, connecting with people, them seeing you, because mine's a video-based podcast as well as audio, but really showing that you understand their industry and how their business works and bringing on experts and people in their industry to let them talk and share. You know, really, we're giving them a platform to tell us what they've done to be successful. And at the same time, I run a business that's no different than owning a law firm. I just happen to be in a marketing firm, a company. So any lawyers listening to this, you know, you're a business owner who happens to be a lawyer. And so that my, you know, podcast is really a dives deep into the operations and marketing and sales and hiring and firing and culture and all these things. And so it allowed me to really understand their business because I don't own a law firm. I own a marketing company, right? So it allows me to really understand, and I can take that information back to my team. I can also, it also helps me, again, make those connections, which really, we don't have a sales organization where we're like cold call sales, emails, and we're just trying to bang the phones and like sell people. I prefer people to say, hey, Kevin, I really like what you said. I've been listening to you, or they're a guest of mine that's like, hey, we need your help. Would you be interested to talk to us? And it's just the way I prefer to do things. And it's allowed me to build that and, you know, and with good intention, you know, it's not something that, like, oh, we're going to trick everybody and have this podcast. It's really been an amazing experience. And, you know, it has worked well there too. It works very, very well.
Does anybody tell you, by the way, that they're going to bait and switch you when it's time to bait and switch you? Or, you know, it's never the conversation that comes up. So when
But, well, I mean, I have had, and we can get into this more, but I've had a guest show up and literally go, "Hey, Kevin, I'm interested to do the podcast, but I don't really care. But we need to hire you to do this and that. And so I'll leave it to you if you want to have me on or not. But I need a proposal from you." And of course, I'm like, "No, I definitely want to record the episode with you." And they signed as a client. They've been a client for 2-3 years.
I've had a similar experience where, like, you get that intro and they're like, "Can we skip the podcast and just go straight to the, I want to buy a podcast?" And I've also had the opposite where it's like, "Listen, I'm never going to fall for this. I'm never going to buy this. Can I still be on your podcast?" And I'm going, "Well, sure. Like, I don't have any problem with this. Like, you honestly believe that I came to this with, like, concealing the sales pitch." And I said, "Yeah, if you want what I got, you want what I got. If you don't, you don't."
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, and I get some people, but there's these, my guest lineup is almost always attorneys that run their own firms that are worth millions of dollars. Other legal experts and people that are not lawyers, but that's my primary. They're smart. They're not stupid. I'm very transparent. You know, hey, I own a marketing agency that works with lawyers around the country. But my show, completely legit, is built on, great foundation over time. Here's some of the guests we've had on. And so they're not, they know they get exposure. And a lot of lawyers refer each other, so they're getting exposed to thousands of other lawyers that they can connect with. But they also are generous usually to say, "Hey, so what do you guys do?" And then they'll say, "Hey, let me see if I can connect you with, my marketing team, or I'm not sure if we need the help or not." And that's what it's all about. It's totally cool. So that's what it's all about. Rarely have I had ones be like, "Well, is your show big enough for me to be on it? Tell me the numbers and the downloads and how much is it going to cost me to be on the show?" And, but few and far between.
We get that stuff too. And the answer is, the answers are hilarious. Like, I called somebody out once and I'm like, "So what's your threshold?" They're like, "Well, how many downloads you have?" And I'm like, "Well, that's an interesting question. What's your threshold? Like, is it 9,002 or 9,005 that makes the difference, right?" And, like, would you be like, no, "I'm not going to do 9,002, but 9,005, we're good." You start looking into some of the metrics on podcasting very quickly and you realize that they're all hogwash anyway, right? Like, the number of downloads has nothing to do with anything useful. What?
Not who they were. You can't connect with them. Best thing you can do is try to get them on a mailing list from there within the podcast, get them off the podcast platform into something else. So,
yeah, into something you can get attribution for. And I think it's really interesting. But so when it comes to the guests that you've developed, and I know you've been, one of your podcasts has got well over 1,000 episodes. I don't know where you're at currently with the Managing Partners podcast, but it's up there. What are you doing to maintain relationships with the folks you've had on the show?
No, good point. Good question there. I have a personal podcast that is no longer actively recorded, but we still have it out there called Journey to 100 Million. And our goal here with me and my partner is 100 million in revenue by 2030. And we started documenting where we were, what we were doing. And we have about 1,300 episodes that are on that podcast.
Yeah.
Quick hits, 5-10 minutes, lessons each time, very focused. The Managing Partners podcast is 300 episodes with a little bit of backlog. So, 300 and some. That is happening. Keeping track of this, I have 300 guests basically that I have to keep track of. So, we have a list in HubSpot that we keep every month. We'll just make sure it's updated. We also have a spreadsheet of all the guests that maybe rescheduled or canceled, and we can go back to say, "Hey, it looks like we never recorded for whatever reason," and we can go back to them and follow up. In HubSpot, we run all our email campaigns. So we have a weekly newsletter that also features the guest of that week, but also has articles, our Facebook mastermind group, stuff in there. And so we're always trying to get back in front of our guest. And we created a Facebook mastermind group that every guest gets invited to be part of. And so we have about 90 to 100 managing partners that are in there as private members. So we're kind of trying to like, hey, you're on the podcast. Now, you know, if you want to join our private group of other managing partners where you all can discuss, it's free. And so we're kind of trying to cultivate that. And outside of that, I call and email them as often as possible, usually about quarterly, to check in. How's their business doing? Do they want to come back on? Maybe they have a new topic that they could dig up. And I usually get a lot of good response there. Oh, hey, Kevin, man, it's awesome. I would love to come back on, and I think I have an awesome topic. We just did this, or we grew this way, or we accomplished whatever, and they're excited to like come back and share.
And that's awesome.
Of course, they're not clients yet, so that's just another chance to get, you know, strengthen that relationship.
So it sounds like your podcast plugs into this ecosystem of marketing and sales, where folks can kind of flow between one and the other. How did you decide what parts of that ecosystem to build and when?
Well, I guess we'll go to the beginning for anyone listening that doesn't have a podcast and they're thinking about it. It's what we did first is said, all right, we are going to start a podcast, and this is legit. We're going to start a podcast that we can invite attorneys on, so that we can get one-on-one with them on video and talk to them. And so we didn't have any like flashy marketing. We didn't have a fully polished editing process. We didn't have social media or other support beyond the episode. It was almost like bare bones, get on the show and record. And so the interesting thing about that is I had attorneys taking time out of their day to record with me for 45 minutes or something like that. And we had zero anything, no episodes, no backing. It wasn't published on half the, it wasn't on anything barely, except, so we didn't even know we were going to do with it yet. So we just started it bare bones with the objective of getting in front of our prospect. And then we're like, then we'll start to add on and build it from there. And so it was really, you know, a rough plan. And we wanted to make sure that we got their cell phone and email address. And then they had a call with us prior to discuss, are they a fit and what topics, just like you did with me, right? Mm-hmm. So that gets to build that rapport. And then over time, we added in, assistant with an email and a video that goes out to say, hey, you know, you're about to record with us. Here's what to expect. Here's what to have in place. And they all like to see the amount of touch points and things that we have mostly automated. They're like, wow, that's impressive. Like, you always followed up. I got notifications. I got a little video. And that sets the stage for, well, what if you worked with us, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so I get feedback like, wow, you guys are like on top of it. And Christine sent me this and Madison followed up with me on this. And then we have after follow up with graphics and, you know, social posts that they can use. So that's kind of where it came to now. And we produce it on a lot of different platforms, LinkedIn Live, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. We invite tons. Now we get them to send it to their list, which they always gladly do. I had one yesterday sent it to 6,000 attorneys because it's got its own podcast. So now it's just like, okay, where can this go and how many different avenues and spider webs can we take it through? So it's been, there's so much more we can do. Now we have the reputation. We have the, you know, 300 episodes. We have all the highlighted guests. So really, sky's the limit at this point. But to the listeners, we didn't have all that figured out, and we didn't even bother to because we knew we had to have a minimal viable product or whatever you want to call it, right? So they don't get tore up with perfection because you won't like the way you sound. You want to look like the way you look. Your background won't be perfect. Just start recording and doing it. You know, bring on Brian, hire them so they can take care of all that stuff for you.
Yeah, like
we'll go through the pain I did.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah. what I want to hear next is a little bit more about what's next, right? So you talked about the amount of opportunity that this has created and where it's going. What's next for your podcast? How do you view that integrating with the business even further, and where does it go from here?
Yeah, good point. Well, you know, I'd like to, you know, we're about to put some more energy and money behind promotion of the podcast to get it out there to more people, probably polish up some things. You can look at my background right now. It's, you know, so we're going to put a little bit more spit shine on it, I guess. Although I don't think people care necessarily. They like just the conversations, and we're authentic. But put a little spit shine, boost it up a little bit. We just applied for some awards for the podcast as well, to get a little hardware behind it. But really where I see it going is like the podcast on the road, if you will. So case in point, this morning on LinkedIn, I had a large personal injury firm say, hey, I just heard you on this law firm's podcast that I was featured on. And then I went over, looked you up, and I've been listening to your podcast all night. And he mentioned like certain guests, and he was like, it's awesome. And, you know, now we're chatting, and they're a big firm. They could be a huge client of ours if that were, it would lead. But so I want to do more of that. And so we were just talking out here because we have multiple podcasts for our brands. It's like guest podcast takeovers. Right. So Brian, I can send you an episode of just me talking and then send it to you, and you use that for one of your episodes.
Right.
In place of you showing up that day, basically. So say if you're looking for a backlog or some extra episodes, reach out to others and say, hey, can I get a clip of one of your episodes? I'm gonna feature it on my podcast, and I'll do a little intro saying, hey, you know, I got Brian here today, he's stepping in for me. I'm on vacation, you know, and then push that out to my audience.
Right. And
so it's like your podcast on my podcast. Yeah. And then what other opportunities can that get me with going to these folks that I've built relationships with? And a lot of law firms have podcasts that I've discovered over the years. So so that's the next thing I'm looking to do, is reaching out to them and say, hey, can I do an episode on your podcast? And vice versa, we'll do a swap.
Yeah, I like it. So, you know, something else that comes to mind with this stuff, though, that you're now seeing so much content being chucked out there that is, you know, AI generated, or I saw a podcast between two AIs the other day role playing as like Einstein and Jean-Paul Sartre or something. And it was like, holy crap. So I think it's important to understand that there's some meaningful distinctions there between the work that you do, the work that I do, and podcasting at large, particularly the entertainment style stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
How do you see the AI, you know, getting into this space for you? And what does it mean for Array Digital moving forward?
No, it's interesting. You know, we don't need people anymore. You know, we just
give them the script, right?
I mean, you know, we're leveraging AI where we can. We use it for ideas, topics. And we're digital marketing, right? We have a whole content team of real people that write, and you know, their future for those kinds of folks, you know.
I promise they're real people. I promise.
Yeah, they're real people. But AI can be leveraged for a lot of things, and so. But I think what we'd be careful is leverage for the things that are ancillary and tasking and things that you don't need to waste time on. But at the same time, you can't overdo it, and over automate. We're using it for sure in areas, but as far as like the podcast itself, you know, show notes, descriptions and write-ups, captions, so we're using it for a lot of things already, but I hope to never really utilize it for replacing of recorded content or anything like that. So, but you know, you could take an audio of yourself that you don't have a video of and create a video with AI. So you can, you know, you can take some of the content you've created and use an AI, produce it as articles, social content, and all kinds of stuff. And so we have a, you know, such a library of topics and recordings that we've already done the work on. And now you can take that and repurpose and do things with it. But AI could be a huge part there to leverage. Hey, we've already recorded 300. We could stop recording and never record again. And maybe we can, you know, use AI to help us, you know, produce some new content out of that. So, yeah, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, so how that leads me to like the repurposing conversation, because that's really rich for folks in the marketing space, right? As always, yeah. But with 300 episodes under your belt, or 300 plus, you now have this huge repository where you can even go meta on your own stuff, right? Where you can be like, I've interviewed 300 attorneys. Here's the top three things I've picked up from this kind of thing.
Yes. Well, yeah, to your point, we've actually even looked at ghostwriting or using AI to categorize, basically take all the episodes, transcripts, so that we can be organized. Okay. How many episodes are about law firm operations? How many episodes, exactly. And bucket them and then create like a freaking playbook. You know, hey, attorneys, I've interviewed 300 managing partners. Here's the secrets. Yeah, I love it.
Awesome stuff.
So yeah, there's endless possibilities. But then I think now that we have the 300 episodes, we've had some really high level guests. Now it's like, okay, how high level can we go? And keep using that to leverage the best of the best out there. At the same time though, you know, I like to bring on smaller firms that aren't like just the top lawyers in the country, because the top lawyers in the country are going to be very hard to sign as clients. And they're so deep into what they have going on, or they have internal, you know, you're a $50 million, $100 million law firm. You're leveraging agencies, maybe as vendors, as specific things, but you're not, you're not relying on them. So,
yeah, I never want to sell to number one. I always want to sell to number four. Number four is always looking to get in the top three.
There you go. I like
number
that.
Three is a little bit tricky. Number two and number one. Yeah. You can't sell me something they already have.
If we do SEO, if they're like, yeah, I'm on number two, and this guy spending $1 million a month is number one. Do you guys fix that? You know,
spending $1 million a month, we can might be able to make that happen.
And so, yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, for me, it's rewarding to see how we've affected their firm and their personal life and their employees and had a big difference. And that means we are mid to lower market. And that's just where we live. So I want to have the superstars here and there. I like to have the real world, like, hey, this is someone that you could relate to in a small area that is trying to figure it out. And so I want to make sure that we continue to do that. And, you know, we're getting listeners that become clients. That's never happened up until like this past year. I've been listening for 6 months. I'm hiring you guys, and they're not looking to talk to anybody else. That right there is the ultimate shift. Yeah.
That's something we, you know, I have a graphic for this that we draw out on a regular basis. And it's like, look, start doing what you're doing first, which is make the connections, make the relationships. The audience converting to clients will happen, but that's, you know, at episode number whatever, but it ain't a single digit number, right? It's not going to be, you know, a double digit number. It's usually when you get the triple digits, then that starts to even become a thing. And only when you have the entire ecosystem kind of fleshed out where they can make that transition on their own without a ton of support. People love to buy, they hate to be sold. Here's how you work that. But I think it's really pretty great that you've gotten to that point where you're now converting audience members I definitely want to circle back with you a little bit more, and when you get to episode 400 and learn, you know, see what else you've learned, right? Because that story just keeps evolving. But Kevin, for the folks that want to engage Array Digital or want to learn more about how you do what you do, how can they reach out? What's the preferred form of contact, and who should do so?
Well, sure. Our web address is arraydigital.com, which forwards to our longstanding one, which is thisisarray.com. But yeah, arraydigital.com would be get you there to find my firm and what we're about. And you can connect with me there or LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, so it's Kevin Daisy, S-D-A-I-S-E-Y. And that's my handle across everything, Instagram, whatever. So any of those platforms I monitor often and watch be a great place to connect. And honestly, I would say any business owner. We niche in law firms. I have another agency that niches in home services. I have another one that's in wellness and health. But I've worked with clients across many verticals. And so anyone that might need the help or at least has questions about, hey, how do I start and get a nice website and SEO and content? How does that work for me and my business? Happy to look at that for you, and at no cost, it can evaluate where you're at and either refer you or point you in the right direction. Happy to do that. So,
and I guess the final question as we wrap here, in your marketing journey to become the super impressive podcast host that you've become, what are the three biggest lessons you've learned along the way?
I forgot about that question. you gotcha. Got me. Oh, that's good. All right, big lessons.
Don't use a soundboard and play the, you know, a wooga horn sound that is so played out, right? So lesson one, yeah, exactly.
I was just going to do that. So it's not a lesson I learned yet.
Don't be that guy. Yeah.
I won't relate it just to podcasts, but I mean, biggest lessons as a business owner. So we're 5,000,040 some people at this point. Okay. Not always the case. I spent a decade at $200,000 or less. And then we spent another 4 or 5 years at the million mark. All the answers are out there. So the biggest lessons I've learned is you can hire people, pay people. You can go to YouTube. You can read books. It's all there. But I think applying pieces of it and actually doing it over time. And there's no secret. There's a lot of little things you got to get right. So if you're running a business, you know, there's lots of people that have done it. Talk to them, get mentors, talk to people, get a group, mastermind, and just immerse yourself. But there's a lot of little things you got to do. So either hire people to do them or you got to do them yourself. And that's what it takes. That's just it. There's no secret sauce here. That's a big lesson there. The other lesson is, you know, you niching. I'm just going to go with that because that has been the biggest thing for our business. We didn't niche for years and we stayed small for a long time. Once you niche, it's scary because you're like, but what if this one company calls and then, you know, we don't look like we fit them. You got to let that go. Niche, do your research first, niche, focus, and like go all in. We only help you and we're perfect for you. Once you have that marketing message and it's clear, people will start to come around to it. So it might not be overnight, but niching is the most important thing I think we've done. And then third is you got to get out of your own way. You have to raise other people up around you. I now have three presidents. Each of my three companies has a president that runs those operations. They're incentivized to do so. They get paid very well. But it takes time to hire that first person and then to give responsibility to anybody. But you've got to constantly be going, okay, who else can I make rich and give the opportunity to? Because you can't keep it all for yourself. You're not going to do it by yourself. And so I think looking for that constantly, who can I promote? Who can I bring in that has that ability that you can just notice from afar and say, hey, we want that person. How do we get them in here? So I just think, you know, you got to be, you know, creating leaders constantly and getting out of your own way and just moving stuff off your plate. And that's hard to do as an entrepreneur. So,
yeah. Cause you're so used to, right? Like wanting to be able to solve all of the things.
I mean, I do it with my kids all the time. Unfortunately, like Get out of the way. Let me just do that for you. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we get frustrated or we get impatient and we know how to do it. So it's like, if you just do, but you got to let them, you got to step back and say, I'm not going to tell you how to do all this stuff. I can't talk to you all day about things. And if you over talk to your team and pile, you know, answers to them and tell them how to do stuff, then they're never going to.
You get no agility. Yeah.
Mm-mm. You got to let them fall down. You got to let them do. I mean, you've heard this kind of stuff everywhere, but doing it and actually like living by it and watching it happen, I think it's a more challenging thing just to say. And I think that's another big lesson too. It's a fourth lesson is,
wow, is
you read all these books, you listen to your podcast, you listen to my podcast. We're telling you, do this, do that, do this, do that. It's just so much noise out there. Influencers, do this, do that. No one does any of the stuff. They don't apply it. They don't actually take it and go, you know what? I am going to do that one thing and do it well and then see what the results are. And so I just think we're just bombarded with great advice, but no one applies it. Read a book, throw it down. That was a great book. Go to a conference, spend $5,000, come home, do nothing. I see that very often.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like it's always, because I think the underpinning for that is change. Right. We want things to be different. I mean, they said it in Age of Ultron, right? The Marvel movie. And I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. They say it like you want things to change. You want things to be different, but you don't want them to change. It's that, right? You keep thinking like, oh yeah, I definitely want this outcome. But you don't want the discomfort of change required to make that outcome occur. So do you really, you know, is it a wish at that point or is it a reality that you're willing to make happen? And I think you've encapsulated it very well. Like all of the stuff is out there. You know, for the,
you can pay $100,000 for it or you get it for free. Same damn answer.
Yeah. But the change that you're willing to, I think that's where the money changes hands really is I want to pay someone to change on my behalf, right? I want to pay someone to help me through this change so it's less threatening or less uncomfortable.
Sure. Or if you make that money exchange, you're like, crap, I paid for it. I guess I need to do it now, right?
Yeah, so at least you're paint yourself into a corner.
It's like if you have an event that's free versus one that costs $50 a ticket, you'll have way more attendance if you charge them $50 a ticket.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, this $50 ticket, I guess I got to go.
It has value. Free. Whereas the guys that show up for free, like, well, they didn't even value it enough on their own to like charge me for it. So how important can be what they're telling me to be, you know?
And it's a weird concept, right? People are like, that doesn't make sense. Free, you know, free would have more people, but, I'll leave you with this and I'm not sure if you have any other questions, right? But, you know, I guess a good friend of mine, he actually runs a law firm and like a mastermind for lawyers, Brian Glass, his dad's Ben Glass. Very well-known guys. You know, one of the things he says is, you mentioned like that, you know, we want change or we want the different outcome, but when we have to do what's required, we're like, I don't want to do that. But he's got a good thing that he mentioned to me recently was, you set all these goals. I want to do $100 million by 2030. Okay, well, what does that really mean? Or I want to run 5 marathons, whatever it might be. But We like to just set lofty goals and we usually don't take a lot of time to think about them. We just like pick something. Oh, $1 million in revenue. That sounds great. Okay. What does that mean when you break it down? And when you hit that, what will it really change in your life or your business? And you got to really like dig into that and say, is that even really a goal or I just picked that crap out of there, right? Is it going to change anything? Because it might not. If it won't, then you're not going to accomplish it. You're not even going to care. By month three, you're like, yeah, how'd that goal go? Yeah, that wasn't really a great goal. I just, we're just business as usual.
Yeah.
So because you're like committed and it's like, this is life-changing stuff and you believe that, then there's a pretty good chance you're going to accomplish it.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been great. And I think for those of you that are looking to learn more, you know, obviously you've got an entire library of podcasts where you talk to attorneys and managing partners and things like that. So I think we'll definitely make sure that that link gets into the show notes so you can find more about Kevin and what he's got to say.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show, and you know, just so much to share, and I'm excited to talk about this stuff all the time. So
awesome.
Anytime.
Hey, you. Yes, you. It's 2024 and you don't have a podcast yet. Or maybe you do, but you're struggling with it. We will talk to you about that for free. We'll help you figure out where you might be stuck, whether or not we can help you for sure. But also, if you don't have one yet, what are the first five things you can do? What are some great angles that you can use to make sure that your podcast was sustainable as you start to develop that moving forward? Those consults are free. So reach out at the link below in the show notes, or email me at brian@podcastchef.com. Thanks. Hi, this is Brian. Thanks for listening to the show. Our website, podcastchef.com, has a ton of useful information about how to best leverage podcasting to help you solve some of your business goals and challenges. You can also schedule a demo where we can show you how specifically Podcast Chef and our team can help you with some of your podcasting goals. Thanks.